Of course, the wolf flies. Hello, my name is Will, and this is Exploding Helicopter, the podcast that can hack any computer system using a thermostat. Now, after slogging away in the movie business for nearly 20 years, Dwayne Johnson graduated from bit parts in low-budget, middling films to big parts in very expensive, middling films. So having established himself as Hollywood's highest-paid actor and its biggest star, with the clout to get any project he wanted made, The Rock did what any normal actor would do and chose to make the video game adaptation Rampage. And talking of people who've made questionable choices in their life, and I mean, you know, how else would you describe the decision to come on this podcast? My guest today will lick you if he likes you and eat you if he hates you. It's Jake Lewitt from the Deep Blue Sea podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Hi, Will. Thanks for having me back.
No, it's good to have you back because, you know, the last time you were on, we were reviewing Deep Blue Sea, which featured a genetically mutated shark running amok. And now here we are reviewing Rampage, which features a genetically mutated monkey running amok. So, you know, what is it with you in these mutant monster movies?
I don't know. As I was watching Rampage, I thought, I'm only on Will's show to talk about films where there's three giant monsters going on a rampage. And I don't know what it is about him. I just like him. I just like seeing scientists playing God and being eaten by their creations.
Yeah, you do seem to like to see nature perverted by science. That does seem to be your forte.
As well, of course. Yeah.
Okay, well let's not mess around on this podcast. Let's get stuck into Rampage. So I'm gonna cut in the trailer clip here.
It's weird. You like hang out with animals more than people.
Yeah, well, animals get me. I rescued George when he was 2 years old. George never would have survived on his own.
He definitely trusts you.
Last night, George was 7 feet and weighed 500 pounds. George, you okay, buddy? You're scared. It's okay. This morning, he's 9 feet pushing 1,000. What's happening to my friend?
Are you familiar with genetic editing? Changes will be incredibly unpredictable.
Is he the only one?
Oh, you didn't know about the 30-foot wolf?
Primatologist David Sequoyer shares an unshakable bond with George, an extraordinarily intelligent albino gorilla who's been in his care since birth. When a rogue genetic experiment goes wrong, it causes George, a wolf and a reptile, to grow to a monstrous size. As the mutated beasts embark on a path of destruction, Okoye teams up with a discredited genetic engineer and the military to secure an antidote and prevent a global catastrophe. In the cast, there are Dwayne Johnson, Naomi Harris and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. The film is directed by Brad Peyton, who seems to exist in this world with the sole purpose of directing films starring Dwayne Johnson. The film was an adaptation of a long-running computer game series of the same name. It has a 6.1 rating on IMDb and a 71% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. The film was another big hit for Dwayne Johnson, raking in the best part of $430 million worldwide. So with all that out of the way, Jay, what did you make of Rampage?
Well, firstly, it breaks my heart that this film has a higher rating on both IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes than Deep Blue Sea. which is just unbelievable. But I do enjoy Rampage. This is my second time seeing it, and I picked it for today's discussion just because I remembered liking it, and I want to watch it again. Because I didn't remember a lot about it beyond I had a good time. And I remember there being some exploding helicopters, and I was looking forward to your show covering them. And I thought, hey, I could just be on it. And I look forward to it in two ways. I enjoy this film. I've never played the game that Rampage is based on, so I was unfamiliar with the overall plot. I don't know if the space experiment crashing into Earth is part of the game, or it was some kind of just hastily written explanation. Like, how can we get this to happen? I don't know, space. Giant mutant rat, that will do. I think the visual effects are, for the most part, incredible. I do love some good CGI in films, and the creature work they put into, especially George, is great. Very expressive character, reminiscent of Andy Serkis in King Kong, that kind of thing. And but I do get a lot. I do get this mixed up with a few of the other of the Rock's films. Like there's that scene where he's choking the guy out, and like, it's a big arm. Just kind of go with it. That could be from any of that. Could be I thought it was from San Andreas maybe, or it could be from a Fast film. I had no idea it was going to be in this. I remember the scene, but didn't know its origin. It just kind of merges together. Any scene where there's not a giant gorilla attacking a giant flying wolf.
Yeah, I'm very surprised at what you just mentioned there about the ratings for this film being higher than Deep Blue Sea, because I would say Deep Blue Sea is a much more fun and entertaining film than...
It's not even fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 59%. It's a travesty.
I guess the one thing that Deep Blue Sea does, which you as an audience member either have to go with or not, is I think Deep Blue Sea probably leans into its ridiculous more than Rampage does, which I think, barring a few one-liners, plays things pretty straight.
Yes, I think that's fair. There are some scenes. There's far more comedy, I would say, in Deep Blue Sea. I mean, you've got the character of Scoggins with Michael Rappaport. He's there just for, you know, the comedic effect. Whereas here you've got George... the gorilla swearing, and you've got a couple of one-liners from The Rock. Not all of them work, but other than that, you've got like the whiny brother of Milan Ackerman, Jake Lacey as Brad or Brett or something. He's just pathetic, and every scene he's in, he's like, oh, okay, this guy. Looking forward to seeing him get killed at some point. But yeah, it's for the most part quite a serious, straight film, and I feel like it should have maybe put its tongue a bit more in its cheek, just a little.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair criticism, and yeah, I think it probably would have been improved if they'd sort of lent into the inherent ridiculousness of the movie that's on offer. But in terms of what else we get on offer, I couldn't help but think actually there was a much better movie in Rampage than the one we actually got, because I thought the beginning sequence, which is the sort of as you described it, the sort of quick throwaway exposition of, you know, how do we get these monsters, was was this mutant space rats, which I thought was a much more exciting movie. I would love to see, you know, if they make a sort of sequel, then I just want to see what happened on that spaceship at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, did you see Life from a few years ago with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
I loved Life. And this opening scene reminded me of kind of that. And it has some tinges of Gravity as well, another space set film I really enjoy. So I was kind of disappointed when that ended so quickly. I wanted to spend a bit more time in there. Like you say, I want the prequel. The pre-Rampage.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what I want to see. I mean, I don't know. Did you see Ad Astra the other year? Because I found that a phenomenally boring movie as Brad Pitt goes into space to deal with his daddy issues. And the only decent bit of that movie was the... you know, man-eating space monkeys that he runs into very briefly for no real apparent reason in that film.
Oh, the reason was to make the film vaguely interesting at any point. That's the part of the film I remember. That, and I had the same issue with First Man, where I just wasn't engaged with it. I think, and that's a completely different, because that's obviously a true story, but slightly different. But yeah, I'm kind of getting a bit done with the just kind of guys going into space to search for their soul. I don't need that anymore. I need more people going into space and fighting giant monsters. That's far more interesting, far more entertaining.
What did you make of the tone that they set here? Because, you know, we've mentioned that there's a few one-liners here. You know, there are a few scary scenes as well when we get to see various monsters, you know, gobbling up people. It's mostly they need to humanize George, so he's spared some of the worst atrocities. It's mostly the wolf that gets to sort of gobble people up in, or most of the time at any rate. What did you reckon of the tone that they hit?
It's a bit varied. You have the scene where Dwayne Johnson gives his backstory of how he found George. It's a very serious, very sobering scene. It doesn't feel entirely in place with what this giant animals fighting each other across the city film should be. And the relationship between The Rock and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is, if you watch The Walking Dead, he's basically just still playing Negan. he found this character of the comedian in Watchmen back in 2008, and has just been playing that ever since. And I don't mind the character. It's just Maybe try a little bit different sometimes now and then. I don't know. You don't have to be an arse in everything you do.
Well, I'm going to slightly derail my own question here because I did want to talk about Jeffrey Dean Morgan because I was struck by exactly the same thing. He does seem to be doing an incredibly bad impression of Jeffrey Dean Morgan in this film. I mean, he is a sort of embarrassing Southern caricature with his, grand pappy anecdotes and his, pearl-handled revolver and just, sort of slow-drawl swagger.
But did Jeff Bridges turn down the role and they just went with him instead? I mean, I like the character. I'm entertained by it. It's not a strange choice. It's a fun choice. Just have him as like the third wheel in this film. But yeah, it could have just been another suit, just another like plain, boring, nothing to them character. So I suppose it's better to have someone a bit more interesting rather than just a guy on the end of a phone barking orders at them.
The thing I found a bit peculiar about Jeffrey Dean Morgan is it seems I can't find out like where he gets this Southern accent from, because if I look at his biography, he was born in Seattle and, then moved to Los Angeles. I can't find where he got this accent from. So I'm wondering if he, adopted this accent 20 years ago and people don't want him to switch back to his normal voice. And he's now just stuck doing this terrible impression.
I think that has to be it. I've never heard him do an interview. So, whether he's taught us this in real life outside of films, I can't say, but I hope that he does. I hope he's in character.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, Dwayne Johnson has become the biggest movie star in the world. Certainly he's the highest paid. I mean, what qualities do you think he brings as an actor to this status that he now has?
He's a very likable presence. He's charming. He can do comedy. He can do action. The kinds of films that he's in tend to be the bigger budget, the blockbusters, the action films, the family films. He doesn't go down the ultra serious, ultra adult roles. His films tend to be quite family friendly. So you've got the Jumanji franchise, the Moanas of the world, that kind of thing. The Fast and the Furious, some of those aren't for like young kids, but for the teenage crowd there. Pretty great. And yeah, so I think he's just, lots of people will see him in these films, and he's just appealing. He's like a comforting presence. I like him. I don't mind. I'll watch pretty much anything he's in. I haven't seen the G.I. Joe sequel, but I would watch it if it was on. But yeah, he's just a comforting presence who's charming and endearing, and from what I'm told, looks quite attractive if you're into that kind of thing.
I mean, I think he is, in terms of these big sort of action star type actors, he is probably one with marginally more acting chops than some of the others that are around at the moment or that have been around in the past. I mean, he can actually deliver a page of dialogue without you wanting to sort of pull your eyes out of your head or something, and he can deliver if he's given a good line, he can deliver a one-liner as well. So I think he brings that to the table as well.
And he seems to be like self-aware of his own image. Like in the Jumanji films, doing the smoldering intensity, the raised eyebrow looking off into the middle distance. Like he's aware of who he is and how he's got to where he is now.
Unlike his sort of Fast and Furious co-star, Vin Diesel, who takes himself painfully seriously, I think, to the detriment of his sort of public likability. I mean, he just is very far up his own arse and could really do with not taking himself quite so seriously.
Absolutely. When it was announced that there was the Hobbs and Shaw spin-off, I was overjoyed because those are my two favorite actors from that franchise. I was a little disappointed with how the film ended up. It's a bit long and takes a long time to get to, hey, maybe we should work together as being its main moral. But just watching Statham and The Rock for 2 hours, great. That's a fun time for me, without throwing in Vin Diesel and Tyrese Gibson and everyone else who just kind of annoys me on the other films.
Well, we've talked a little bit about Dwayne Johnson and we've talked about Jeffrey Dean Morgan here. The other sort of main lead in this film is Naomi Harris. And I go up and down on her in terms of whether she can actually act. I think okay. In this film, actually, she's absolutely fine. But I recently watched a TV series that she was in called The Third Day with Jude Law. And in there, she was really grinding my gears in there. There were moments where I was just like, oh, my God, this is dreadful acting. I mean, have you got a take on her as a screen actor?
I have not seen The Third Day, so I can't comment on that. But what I have seen her in, I really liked her. She first came across my desk in Skyfall, I would say. I may have seen her in smaller roles in other films, but I first noticed her in Skyfall, and I loved her in Skyfall, and was glad she got more to do in Spectre, but would have liked it to have been in a better film. I've not seen her do anything bad. I think she's really good in Moonlight, and I hated Collateral Beauty, but she's not the problem with that film. there's many problems with that film, but she's not one of them. I'm happy to see her do more things in the likes of Rampage. I'd like her to do more things, but because maybe I've just seen all of her good roles, managed to skip the bad ones.
So this is a big budget film based on an intellectual property, fancy name for a computer game here. I mean, I think the chances are that we are probably, or somebody somewhere is thinking about making, Rampage 2. I mean, do we want Rampage 2? Where can Rampage 2 really go? Have you got any ideas, any thoughts on all that?
I wouldn't mind a Rampage 2 in terms of where it could go. Well, they could explain it by having more stuff falling from space, or the rest of there was a whole space station that exploded up in space that had more of these DNA samples, so that could somehow make its way down to Earth somewhere. The obvious route would be different animals, more animals, bigger animals. Obviously, if we go with something that's a bit more docile, maybe like a giant panda would be fun, or like a koala could be interesting. lots of people are terrified of snakes or spiders, so having giant versions of those are a bit overplayed from films, I guess. Giant snakes and spiders have been done before. My obviously answer, giant shark would be great. they could team up, one take over the land, one take over the sea, and maybe something that could actually fly, like an eagle or something, would be interesting. Yeah. What about you? What animals do you want to see supersized and angry?
Oh my God. I like the idea of a seemingly sort of cuddly, friendly animal being turned into, a sort of homicidal, rampaging monster. So something like a panda, that would be fantastic. Koala, I thought that was a really good idea. Thinking of Australian animals, a kangaroo might be quite,
yes.
quite interesting. And,
as a giant duck-billed platypus.
And then maybe as a sort of like little surprise gimmick is sort of, it's never introduced, but then suddenly, like a baby kangaroo comes out of the Joey pouch.
I'm here for this.
At a kind of, strategically interesting moment in the film.
So like a velociraptor erupting from a T-Rex kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if we're going to go down that route, then I think Rampage 2 really needs to lean into the ridiculousness. They need to be getting Rennie Harlan on the phone and calling up Thomas Jane.
Absolutely, yes. He can slide all around whatever. He can take on the shark or whatever Morpheus creature, so he can't. He can just be sliding around wherever he is there.
Okay. I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be looking at the exploding helicopter action.
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
We're back, and now we're looking at the exploding helicopter action, and oh boy, there's a few incidents to look at here. The first one occurs fairly early in proceedings. A team of mercenaries are sent in to recover a MacGuffin when they're attacked by a monster wolf that grabs the chopper, which flings it into a cliff, whereupon it falls to the ground and explodes. Exploding helicopters 2 and 3 happen towards the end of the film, with the military trying to defend the creature's assault on Chicago. The wolf grabs a helicopter in its jaws and throws it to the ground, where the whirlybird explodes. Not to be outdone, George grabs a chopper and throws one to the ground as well. Both vehicles explode on impact. The final chopper fireball occurs during the finale, when the mutant crocodile type creature grabs a grounded chopper and throws it over its shoulder, causing the chopper to explode when it hits the ground. Jay, what did you make of all the exploding helicopter action that's on display here?
Well, initially, I was very disappointed, because the first time I watched this film, as I said, my first thought was, I cannot wait to hear Will talk about this film. There are dozens of exploding helicopters throughout this film. I remember every scene had a helicopter being taken out by a gorilla or a wolf or a crocodile or everything in between. And so to go back and watch it and only see four, I had remembered way more than this. When those first three, you have the first three, and then there's a big gap before the fourth one. I was like, where's the rest of them? They were all around here somewhere.
That's the suggestive power of exploding helicopters for you.
It is. I've listened to this show too much. I see them everywhere now. taking that aside and just looking at the helicopters they are, the first one I think is pretty great. You have Joe Manganiello, who gets I've got to mention earlier, he has this a real character introduction scene, like following him from behind for like a solid minute, and turn around and it's Joe Manganiello. I don't mind the guy, but I don't think he's earned quite that amount of an introduction. But seeing the giant wolf leap up and latch onto the helicopter, rip out the people who are inside whilst it's still clinging on, and the blades of the chopper just breaking off against the back of the wolf without it even really noticing. And then, yeah, that's pretty great. I think it's the first time you've had that on the show. Like, you know, you like to point out the unique helicopter explosions. I think this is the first one by giant wolf that I've seen.
Well, I'm afraid, Jay, you need to go and watch Battle Dogs I think it's from 2010. Basically, it's a low budget ripoff of World War Z that just replaces zombies with kind of, you know, mutated wolves. So you get to see one of the werewolves kind of, yeah, sort of mutant dogs leaping through the air off a building and, yeah, taking out a chopper in a sort of similar manner. So yeah, it's not a first, but not many people would have seen that movie, given how generally terrible it is. So you know, you could be forgiven for the oversight.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate it. And then having the classic action movie scene of like the vehicle comes to a halt and then explodes, it's fun. I like that kind of thing. And then you have 2 and 3, they're very quick, as you mentioned. They kind of explode on impact, so it's just wolf jumps up, brings helicopter down, explode, and then George throws tank at helicopter, it explodes. I don't know if I just wanted more, because they've gone, when the first helicopter is kind of brought down, it's just a cloud of ash, and then the wolf's just kind of picking at it. But the final one, there was a helicopter earlier on during that attack on the two with where the wolf is called Ralph. The wolf is called Ralph for some reason. Grows like porcupine spines and takes out a helicopter, and it flies off into the distance and disappears. So I'm pretty sure that the one that the crocodile Lizzie destroys later is that same helicopter.
I did think about that, but I think that is a massive assumption to make.
Well, I think it's set up and payoff.
I mean, it's very, you can't really, there aren't any sort of clues. Like, the streets by this point are not recognizable, just because they've been, you know, pummeled into debris by, you know, one or other of the mutant monsters. So I mean, as you know, maybe, as you say, maybe, well, it's as simple as set up and payoff.
Well, I was looking out for this, and there are a couple of giant porcupine spines in the area around the helicopter crash.
Ooh, I need to go back and look at that.
It is available on YouTube. It could well be rebar, but it looks like giant porcupine spines. So that's the headcanon I choose to use, that this destroyed grounded helicopter is that one from earlier, because when it is flies off into the distance and gets shrouded in dust, I was like, oh, we've been cheated out of this explosion. So then seeing it again at the end when Lizzie chucking it up and just exploding in the distance, it's not the closure I wanted, but it's some closure at least.
Well, anticipation is half the pleasure, Jay, so you know,
it's for people like us who are watching these films ever so closely. Just we get that little bit extra out of them just by noticing this one from it. And then there is the fifth helicopter that doesn't explode, that perhaps should have exploded. No one quite knows how it didn't explode. The one that Dwayne Johnson and Naomi Harris ride down from the top of the skyscraper, despite it not having a tail.
Well, the stars do need to survive to the end of the film. So I think it's that sort of classic plot contrivance convenience where a vehicle just doesn't explode, or just sort of, you know, farts out a few flames to suggest damage, you know, and allows then the actors to sort of safely clamber out. But you know, talking of you know, farting flames, I was a bit disappointed with the actual explosion in the first exploding helicopter that we see here. I mean, it's more like an explosion inside a helicopter rather than an exploding helicopter. I mean, I do feel that it can be included in the canon, but I think they could easily have done a bigger explosion there. I was a bit disappointed, frankly, that the one that they served up for us.
Yeah, because it has that little explosion, and it cuts back to Joe Manganiello looking at it going, oh, that was my ride out. And then it cuts back to the helicopter, and you think, okay, are we going to get the real explosion now? Is it going to go again? And it just, no. It just kind of burns for a little bit, and then the scene is over. Joe Manganiello has his fate.
Well, I've got a little bit of you know, factual information to dump here, because I know, Jay, you know, you've mentioned that you know you like it when I point out you know, firsts and you know, exploding helicopter historical precedents. But as I mentioned, yeah, we do get to see you know, a wolf in another movie, and an earlier movie blow up a helicopter. That was in Battle Dogs. There's also a film from the 70s called The Beast Must Die, which is a werewolf movie where a helicopter gets blown up by somebody trying to shoot the werewolf in that movie. So the helicopter gets blown up by the silver bullets that the person is firing at that particular moment. So it's probably it's probably the most bling exploding helicopter that that we've had. So it's kind of werewolf or wolf related. We see some sort of reptile in this movie. It's kind of like a sort of pimped up crocodile. You know, you can see helicopters blown up by crocodiles in Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, which is, I think it's an asylum joint.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, and then there's also Crocodile 2 Death Swamp. That's a glorious one, Jay. I'll send you the link to where you can watch that online. It's absolutely fantastic. I think it's possibly the kind of the finest moment in crocodile related exploding helicopters that I think is probably, I don't think it can ever be topped, but you know, if somebody wants to try, then yeah, please do. But I think they're going to have to go a long way to beating that one. And if you want to see monkeys explode helicopters, then you know, you can watch the 1976 King Kong. You can watch King Kong Skull Island, or you can watch the kind of exploitation versions of King Kong that came out in the 70s. So the mighty Peking Man, which we've reviewed previously on the podcast, and there's another sort of King Kong 70s ripoff called Ape, where the titular beast you know, throws a helicopter against a cliff where it explodes, and then much like George in this particular film, flips the wreckage of the exploded helicopter, flips it the bird in a nice little sort of you know, kind of sweary payoff.
Fantastic. I'm still struck on Death Swamp. That's my takeaway from today's show.
You're going to enjoy that one, Jay. Well, I think that probably just about wraps things up for this show. Jay, do you want to take a moment to plug your stuff?
Yes, you mentioned it earlier. Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is where you can find me the most. It's our weekly show, myself and Mark Hoffmeyer, tackling DVD chapters of Deep Blue Sea one chapter at a time. We're having a fun time. at the time of recording, we're down to the final four castmates with still 13 chapters to go. So it's there's a lot of chapters towards the end. We're gonna stretch out our discussion of them a little bit, and then we'll tackle the sequels, not as in-depthly, and who knows where we'll go on from beyond there. But I used to host the Lambcast, the official podcast of the Large Association of Movie Vlogs, the Lamb, largeassmovievlogs.com, which I still run, the Lamb. But I have retired from hosting that podcast. But we recently held a kind of a goodbye party for myself, where we got together about 45 previous guests over the course of a 4.5 hour period to record a mammoth podcast that was a lot of fun. And if any of your guests, any of your listeners are interested in listening to that, it was a very fun time. We talked about a lot of different topics, and it's available if you just search for Lambcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Do that, find them there.
Yeah, definitely go and check out, go and check out both podcasts, but definitely go and check out the Deep Blue Sea podcast. I was a guest on there, talking about one particular scene. It was obviously the exploding helicopter scene. And it was interesting and good fun to discuss. We discuss exploding helicopters a lot on this podcast, but that was just literally 90 seconds, and pretty much the only thing that happened in the 90 seconds we were reviewing was this helicopter exploding. So it was kind of like all my dreams come true.
Excellent. I'm glad that we were able to fulfill those dreams. Actually, your regular guest Nick Rehack, he and Mark talked on another show about how we should have had you on for just a different scene without a helicopter, just to see how you'd have got on. Just a dialogue scene, no action in it, no helicopters, just take you out of your comfort zone. So maybe next time.
Well, look, I know the niche that I occupy, so it's the straw that I've drawn in life. So I'm just I'm resigned to such scenarios, and it's fine. I give you permission to pigeonhole me so singularly. So
you're the best at that pigeonhole, Will. There's not, no one does it better.
As always, don't forget to check out the Exploding Helicopter website. That's explodinghelicopter.com. We'll be back soon, but until then, keep watching the skies for those exploding helicopters.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.